This morning we're going to talk about the Word of God. But I'd like to take a little different angle this morning and have us consider together. Several years ago, some of you may have read the book The Man in the Mirror by Pat Morley. It's a good little book. It could be The Woman in the Mirror, for that matter. But basically what it is allows us to take a look at our life in a 3D color view of our own spiritual life. And in that book, he makes an interesting statement. He says, you know, life is demanding more than emotional, physical, and all types of energy than we have to give it. Let me ask you this morning, are you tired of kicking against the goads? Do you have staff problems back in your business, personnel problems, a lack of resources to get the job done, not enough people and money, irate co-workers, picky little problems that you deal with every day, the little things, you know, you can't get the sprinkler to work at home, or something goes wrong, or you got to take the car in. It's those little things that just sort of drain your emotional energy. It's like unscrewing your big toe and letting it flow out on the floor, all of your emotional energy. Those picky little problems. Always having things go wrong. Having to deal with a changing environment. Maybe you're involved in one of those corporations that today are outsourcing or scrunching down the levels from maybe 15 levels to 5. And there are layoffs and all sorts of things going on. Are you not feeling quite adequate for parenting, for the job, for your own personal expectations? Maybe you just rolled over a certain age and you think, well, maybe I shouldn't have been there. You know, I'm not exactly where I thought I would be. You know, how can you handle one more thing? I struggle with that myself. In fact, this past year has been one of those years that I ask myself, how can I handle one more thing? And I think there's a good word this morning for that, and the word is don't. Don't handle one more thing. And let's turn our thoughts to the Scriptures and why to say that, because in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, familiar passage to all of us. I've been spending this whole year in the book of Matthew, and I'm now up to chapter 22, since after the 1st of January. And I go out and buy a paperback New Testament every year from the International Bible Society, the New International Version. It costs $1.25. And I just mark it to death. And so that's Matthew is my book this year. And I came across Matthew 11:28, a familiar passage, but I think it had a new meaning for me personally. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Don't. You know, in a fast-paced society like we live in, how do you survive? Lots of things going on. Lots of things. And it is so easy for us as believers to get involved in all kinds of activities, not just work activities and not just home and not just family, but religious activities. And kind of lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. I love to ask the question, why? Why am I doing what I'm doing? You ever do that? In doing that, there have been a couple of passages of Scripture that have come to me personally over the past year that I think have been very helpful. One of them is in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It says, but I'm afraid as the serpent deceived Eve, that you will be deceived and led astray from a pure and sincere devotion to Christ. A pure and sincere devotion to Christ. And then along those same lines, John 5:39, verse 40. It says, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. as they that bear witness to me. Yet you refuse to come that you may have life. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about the Word of God. And the Word of God's important. But I think a lot of times when we consider and think and conceptualize about the Word of God, we tend to make it not a means to an end, but a means in and of itself. And Jesus and the Word of God are inseparably tied. Our relationship to Jesus is inseparably tied to the Word of God, and the Word of God is inseparably tied to Jesus. And I think for a lot of us who have been in the Scriptures for a long time, we tend to sometimes worship the Bible more than we worship the person behind the Scriptures, behind the Bible. Now, the Bible and the Spirit of God tied together is probably the best Federal Express delivery system that's ever been created in the cosmos. I like to study Federal Express, and I like to study delivery systems. And I'll tell you, this is an instantaneous delivery system. If you have your Bibles, let's go to John chapter 14. And that's where we'd like to spend some time this morning. John chapter 14, starting with verse 25. This is Jesus talking. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You know, in the midst of thinking about where we are today and the kinds of life we live and the intricacies of life and the various challenges, I think there are three ingredients here that really can begin to give us a glimpse of how to deal with the fast-paced, changing society in which we live. Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." Now, the Holy Spirit was sent to live in each and every one of us. And I think for some of us, we kind of get afraid when we talk about the Holy Spirit. As long as he doesn't do, like a friend of mine says, as long as he doesn't do anything, we're happy to have him around. And we're very rational beings, particularly those of us who tend to be the evangelical persuasion. I mean, if it's not logical and in a box, it can't be right. I think one of the things I've been finding is that for me over the last several years, a lot of things that are really rational don't always work in the spiritual realm. You ever notice that? Now, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways." And 9 times out of 10, when you get involved in something, you know, if you take 180 degrees away from the rational approach, a lot of times that's the way God ends up working. Have you ever noticed that? I sure have. I could give some examples, but there's probably not enough time. "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." You can't separate the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. Because what the Holy Spirit does is he takes everything that Jesus said and teaches us. So you've got to have the Holy Spirit coupled with the Word of God. And what is it equal? Well, in 27, it equals peace. "I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The Holy Spirit living in us, using the Word of God, equals peace. You want to have peace in your life today? Now, I think a lot of us have the Word of God and leave out the other part of the equation. God speaking to us. Holy Spirit, Word of God, peace. Process for a peaceful life. You know, this delivery system that we have called the Word of God plus the Holy Spirit, not only gives peace, but he gives guidance. He gives impact and he deepens our relationship with Christ. We can't lose sight of the fact that ultimately the Scriptures point us to Christ. Last week I went out to Michigan, a one-day trip, to meet with the board of directors of a group of broadcasters in Michigan. And the topic was long-range strategic planning of broadcasting into the year 1998 and into the 21st century. They were thinking about what types of strategic and financial investments and resources of people in terms of technology and people they should make to stay relevant over the next, the next 10 years, which is a long time period for those of you that try to project into the future. And between Chicago and Midland, Michigan, it's about a 40-minute flight, I had a unique encounter with a gentleman who has a software company. He lives in New Hampshire. He's getting ready to do an IPO of the company, an initial public offering, which will probably yield, I don't know, somewhere between $6.5 and $7 million, at least what value of current stock for this individual. And so we were sitting talking. And I asked him, I said, what challenges do you face with your company? They're operating in Singapore and Hong Kong, London. They have representatives. And he made an interesting statement. He said, I really don't much care about that. But he said, I'm thinking about me personally. And the reason I'm thinking about me personally is that I'm probably going to be out of the company within the next several years. And he said, most people that after they do that, they tend to leave a company like that. And I said, what do you want to do? He said, well, I'd like to go teach junior high school. I said, junior high school? He said, yeah. He said, you know, it seems to me that that's where the future of the country is, and that's where the future is. And he said, you know, it seems to me like I could really make an impact with junior high kids. I'd really like to go do that. Lives in New Hampshire. So he's going to retire and go teach junior high kids. And then I said, we took it a step further. I said, well, why would you like to teach junior high kids? He said, well, he said, you know, I'd like to have some sort of an impact with my life. And so one thing led to another and to another. And finally, we began to talk about how you can have ultimate impact with your life, an investment of X number of years, and what type of an impact that could have. And then we got into the fact of how Jesus Christ could leverage your impact for the future. That's what we were talking about. And how it could leverage your personal impact, because what you teach those junior high kids is exactly what you have in your life. That's what you impart. Nothing more, nothing less as to what you have in your life, the sum total of your character, the sum total of all of your experiences. That's what you pass on to those junior high kids. And we got started talking about peace and how you could have peace. And the next generation, it's so turbulent. And we got started talking about the guns in the street, 14-year-olds with guns and violence as being a part of our society. And he brought up this thing about peace. He said, how in the world can you have peace? So we talked about Jesus Christ and how Christ could bring peace and how the Bible is a medium, a vehicle, to be able to see God accomplish peace in your life. And then we began to talk about Jesus. And you know, he made an interesting statement. He said, you know, I've always hated Christianity, and I've always hated the church, and I don't like organizations, and I don't like all the trappings around it, but he said, I've always respected Jesus Christ as a person. Now, I'm not a born-again or anything like that. But he said, I've always really appreciated Jesus Christ as the person. But he said, I just hate all the trappings around it. So we talked about Jesus Christ, the person. And we used the Bible. And we took a little portrayal of who Jesus is, what he looks like. Went to Philippians chapter 2. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And talked about that, what that meant, and how that could bring peace, and how it could leverage his impact for the future. You know, it seems to me that not only with this encounter, but with other encounters, that as America becomes more and more secular, we need to become better and better skilled on how to explain our relationship with Jesus Christ in terms that people understand. Now, quoting five Bible verses doesn't cut it. I mean, I hate to say that. I mean, I'm with the Navigators and, you know, the little cards and books and Bible study books and all that kind of stuff. But it seems to me that what is going to communicate to people and that my wife and I have observed and what we observe in the life of others is that it is more the character or the Word of God saturating your life, causing your value system to be transformed into an eternal value system that communicates to people, because it is not so much content, it is character that people look at. And so as we approach the Word of God, it is more our lives, the Word of God living through our lives, than it is the content of the amount or the sum total of the Word of God that we have stored intellectually. It's taking it out of the intellect, living it through the life, and allowing that to impact society. And it seems to me that we're doing a pretty good job of reaching the religious lost in America, but not such a great job of really impacting America for Christ today as it becomes more and more secular. By the way, the sum total pool of the religious lost is shrinking all the time. You notice that? It's getting smaller. The people who are secular are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so as we have come to the Word of God, I think we're almost going to have a new mindset. The way we approach it, not so much from content, but allowing the Word of God to influence our character and our value system. And that's what we'll really communicate. Living out our relationship with Christ. But how do we begin to do that? That's a question I've been asking myself, particularly over the last couple of years. About a year ago, I've been a believer since 1971 is when I became a believer in Christ. And, I kind of felt like about a year ago that I almost needed a reintroduction to Christ. Somebody ought to reintroduce me to Christ. You ever feel that way? I don't think it's a midlife crisis. I went over age 40 and a bunch of things, but it just seemed to me in my own spiritual life that I almost need to be reintroduced to Jesus Christ. Not as an organization, not as a movement, not as a concept, not as a program, not as a cause, not as an organism, not as the body of Christ, but a person. I need to be reintroduced to Jesus Christ as a person who lives with me and in me on a daily basis. And I began to ask some questions. You know, where am I going? Where am I really going in life? How do I go deeper in my relationship with Christ? I mean, you know, you spend time in the Bible and you do Bible study and you memorize it and you're involved with it, but there's got to be something deeper than that. There's got to be something that's more tangible in terms of really knowing Christ personally as a person and really seeing that begin to go through my life in a more tangible way. Maybe you've struggled with that. In fact, I even went back to my basic callings of everything in my own life that God has, I felt, spoken to me over the years. I went back to the Scriptures, and I trust that you have a calling in life. If you don't, boy, ask God to give you one, because let me tell you, this is not the time to float through life with no calling from God. If you're in the marketplace, you ought to be as called as your pastor or somebody else. You ought to feel that calling deep down in your soul, rock solid. Feel the calling for Christ. And I went back to some bedrock things. I had St. Louis, summer 1973. That was, Bob, that was the year I was with your folks. I can still remember the park bench out on Ladue Road. I can even take you to the picnic table where I talked to the Lord, and He was very close in those days. Isaiah 45:14, "Thus says the Lord, the wealth of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over to be yours. They shall follow you, They shall come over in chains and bow down to you, a promise to Christ. But something in my own life that I just felt God was dealing with me in terms of the various components of my life and my calling. People, resources, that's always been a part of my life. And I just went back to some very basic bedrock facts, to some things that God had dealt with me. And if you don't have some of those basic bedrocks, truths in the Scriptures where you can go back and kind of put your roots down, let me encourage you to do that. In your time with the Lord over the next several weeks, or even here, ask God to give you some things for the future. He'll do that. But I went back to my calling. And I came to the fact of where I just felt like I couldn't invest my life much further without some new, deeper direction. And last year I heard Bruce Wilkinson speak. Some of you may have been here at a conference where he spoke. And he began to talk about the same thing. Now, I'm an economist by training, and I think in graphs. I mean, if I can draw it, I'm happy. If I can make it into a chart, I'm real happy. Bar charts are great. Sine charts, I mean, you know, listen, if you're going to flat forecast hog futures, you got to know those charts pretty good. So I began to think about my life. And, you know, you think about it, and if this is time, and this is sort of your relationship with the Lord on this axis, and you think about a graph that goes up like this, and as the curve begins to go over, and you're all familiar with a bell curve, it seemed like I was just about the top of the curve, and either I was going to level out, or I was going to continue on up in my relationship with Christ. I was either going to get in touch with Christ and myself for further impact, or I could just sense it was going to lead to more activity, more organization, feeding the animal one more time, guilt, more knowledge, but not more growth. And so one of the things I did is I took a little spiritual inventory that really helped me as a result of several things. And if you have a piece of paper this morning, let me give you three questions that about every 3 or 4 months for the last couple of years, I've been sitting down with a piece of paper somewhere and answering. There are three questions, a spiritual inventory. Here's the first question. I'll ask it, and then I'll give you about 4 minutes to scratch down an answer. And be honest, nobody look at anybody else's paper. First question. Have I become closer to Jesus in the last 12 months? And if so, what specific things confirm this for me? I'm going to take about 2.5-3 minutes and you answer. Get brutally honest with you and the Lord. All right, now the second question. If Jesus Christ were to walk through that door right over there, the double hutch door, and come in here this morning, and we were to recognize him, would there be anything, a check in your spirit, that would keep you from going over and seeing him personally, taking the initiative to see him personally? Now, some of the things that I think of that have come to my mind over the last 6-8 months as I've asked myself that question are in the area of habits, thought life, food, pure relationships, just in the whole arena of thought life. What would be the one thing, the one check in your spirit that would keep you from relating to Christ if he were standing right there? Now, number three. As I meet with the Lord, is there anything that he keeps bringing to mind over a period of time It has to do with the relationship of another person, in a relationship with another person. Is there kind of a nagging niggle that every time you come to the Lord or you spend some time with the Lord or something, that a relationship, something about a relationship clicks up, kind of comes up on screen in your mental mind's eye that you need to clear up in a relationship with another person? Just jot that down. Okay. As I come to the Lord, is there anything I need to clear up between myself and another person? Now, you'll notice that I'm not spending a lot of time talking about methods this morning. And the reason I'm not spending a lot of time talking about methods is because our attitude is far more important. I think our heart is far more important as we use and as we approach Christ through the Scriptures than necessarily the method that we use. And I've used a lot of methods in my lifetime. And the Word of God is very, very important, but it's the heart attitude in our relationship with Christ that I've come to the conclusion over the last couple of years that either impedes or leverages my spiritual impact for Christ. And usually in my own life, it has to do with something either in my relationship with Christ or it has to do with something in my relationship with others. And that tends to impede my ability to really sense and come close to the Lord. You know, it's been amazing. I've since I began to do this, another thing that I've done is begin to keep a spiritual journal. How many of you have ever kept a spiritual journal? I'm glad to see you do. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing for me because this one starts on 6/21/1993. And, you know, I've done them in all kinds of little books. You know, I remember going out trying to buy one. And this year, one of the things that I've really tried to do since about the 1st of January, and again, it had to do with a message I heard in early January, was this idea of really journaling down what Christ is doing in my life and in the life of others. And these three questions is to, Lord, what have you done that I have seen you closer? And boy, I'll tell you, this has been a great year. This has been one of the wildest years I have had spiritually. And to be able to go back and just to see them, even from just 2 or 3 months ago, as to what God has really done. Or the idea of, Lord, are there things I need to work out in relationships? I started this in January, and there was a little situation that the Lord brought to mind I'd been thinking about for 2 years. It was a conversation I'd had 2 years before. And it was a comment I made about a person to another person in a quote-unquote spiritual context that really was a miniature character assassination. And I had to get on the phone 2.5 years later and take care of that. And then the Lord would bring other things to mind as I would say, okay, Lord, is there anything between this person or anything between you, between me? And to keep a little spiritual inventory as I go throughout this year, I tell you, has just opened a whole new vista in my relationship with Christ, even in an emotional way, of feeling close to Him. The idea of a spiritual journal, some of the things that are going on, for instance, this morning I wrote about, Larry, what we did last weekend. We spent some time together. Some of the things the Lord was speaking on about that. The spiritual inventory and time with God. I mean, to really set aside times with the Lord in His Word. You know, in the Navigators, you think, well, goodness, that's what you're supposed to do, but you get so busy. I mean, when you look at all the things that are going on, I mean, the Navigators are not much different than any of your organizations you're involved with. You know, we have a publishing house. We have all kinds of stuff going on within the organization. And so you get so wrapped up. And to actually, I've been blocking half days, one half day a month with the Lord sometime. And that's been one of the most useful things, just to sit down and listen to what God has to say. When was the last time you just sit down and listened to what God had to say? Spiritual inventory, spiritual journal, time with Him. You know, the Word of God coupled with the Spirit of God, it's amazing what the Lord can do. I have another friend. We get on the phone, I guess every couple weeks and talk. He's doing the same thing this year. And it's amazing. Both the thing we've observed in our own life, along with several others, is instead of approaching a problem now and saying, oh no, here's another situation, and having that sort of panic invade your soul, it's to simply turn and say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do with this? And I'd like to keep track of it as to what He is doing. So the Word of God, it's absolutely essential. But our attitude toward it is far more essential. And really living with an expectation of the Spirit of Christ on what He's going to do, how He's going to lead. I was looking back through several things on how I'd been impressed with from the Scriptures. And 3 or 4 days later, things would happen. And it was just uncanny what's happened in the last year. The Word of God coupled with the Spirit of God, with our attitude, is peace. And in the midst of society today that's in a real disconnect in many, many ways, it's good to get connected with Christ. I know you're going to spend some time in small groups this morning, and I don't know what your activities are. Let me encourage you while you're here, though. It's easy to book up the time with people, seeing people that you haven't seen, making relationships and things. But let me encourage you while you're here this week to get off alone with the Lord sometime. And this is a great place to do it. Life doesn't run 400 miles an hour here at Glen Eyrie. And find some place as you're here this week and get your Bible and get off with just you and Christ. Ask those three questions and then begin to just jot down some of the observations you have. And when you get home, don't lose it. You know, continue just to spend time with Christ. Schedule it in your schedule. People say, look, could I have an appointment with you? And I say, no, I have an appointment on that half day I spend with the Lord. I was with one of those broadcasters up in Michigan that these were not Christian broadcasters. Some of them were very secular. And one of the fellows came up who was involved in a station. And he said, you know, I have an employee. He said, he asked a dumb question. He wants to go off and spend a half day with Christ. He said, I thought that was really kind of cosmic. But he said, you know, boy, he said, that guy gets a lot done. He sounds different on the air. Just different about him. And you know, if you have employees, or if you're involved in a company like it, don't be afraid to let people do that. What's the common thing in management circles today is getting off and getting in touch with yourself. Well, there's a far greater thing to get in touch with. Let people do that. I'll bet you see your productivity go up rather dramatically. Say a word of prayer, and then Bob, you can organize this for the rest of the morning. Lord, thank you for giving us the Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Spirit to energize the Scriptures. And Lord, most of all, I thank you that you are here. And Lord, you are with us and in us daily. And Lord, how intimately you care about every issue in my life and each person's life that's here. These next several days, I pray, Lord, you'd get real with people.
as we investigate and consider our lives, Lord, I pray that you would leverage your impact through us. Not us leveraging, but you leveraging your impact through us. A very needy, needy group of people that we interact with every day. So, Father, thanks for this time to pull apart, for giving the resources to be here. Or the time, the money, the everything it takes to be able to just spend some time here. Speak to us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that most of all, you'd restore peace in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.